Mary Brown of 66 Belknap Street is being interviewed by Renee Garrelick for Concord's Oral History Program. She was born in 1916. Present at the interview is her husband, Fred Brown, and a neighbor who is very devoted to Mary and who just has loved all her stories over the years, Carol Dwyer of 245 Main Street.
Mine should get hammered, but it looks quite moved into, doesn't it?
Oh, it looks lovely.
Father had it built, and we don't know whether his father, who was a carpenter, participated in the building of the mine. But one would guess that that's probably the first 3 or 4 or 5 years of the occupancy of this brand new house. And no, there isn't any, where I know, three of the pushes at that time.
No, that's right. We did have a walkway up to the porch, but on each side was a barber. Wasn't it a barber, boy?
I guess so.
We used strong like the woods from this house. Not bad, but
I do not swear. I don't consider Dan and
we used to say hell damn spit, and we think we'd be really bad.
It's wonderful being in the same house as your
And nobody has lived here in this house except the Powers of my maiden name and now the Browns.
Mm-hmm. One thing you might look into is I have heard the story that this house next door was a farmhouse for this whole area at one time. You might want to look into that in the town archives.
Maybe she knows it.
Or Mrs. Moss is available, I guess.
Yes, I know Marcia very well.
I should think you would.
Yeah.
Because of your interest. Yeah.
Now, the house next door, which way?
The big one.
The big one.
And that's okay. One
the back part was separated from the big one by a number of feet, and more out than honeymoon couples moved into the back house.
I see.
When they got married and had no children, but when the children began to come, the honeymoon couple moved out and another one moved in. So it was kind of a repetition.
This house next door here was built approximately 2 years after this by the McWalters.
Mm-hmm. And it was shingled.
Yes. Yes.
Dark green shingles.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to orient a little bit to this corner.
And Mr.
Now the McWalters was Dave McWalters' family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would it be his grandfather?
His grandfather, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the first Morris McWalter. He was both a lawyer and the insurance. Mm-hmm. And I said it was the agent.
Yeah.
And so then his son, Morris, one of his sons, became a lawyer and an associate judge.
And he was a judge down here, wasn't he? Yeah. And then he had a boy, and his wife is up at the Wallen nursing home.
Yeah. You're speaking.
Yes, Mac is a lawyer down in the, and I think he occupies the same office that his father had. No, his father wasn't a lawyer, was he?
Yeah, he was. So one son became an insurance agent, the other son became a lawyer, and then a judge.
Mm-hmm.
They called him associate judge.
Now, you said your name was Powers.
Right.
And what was your parents' first name?
Aspirin, Agnes, Dempsey. And her father was Terrence. Terrence Dempsey. And there was another brother. And I think they came from Iowa to Concord. And Terrence was my, paternal grandfather, or my maternal grandfather, that's right. Yes.
And your father's name was?
Thomas.
Thomas. Were they any relation to Jim Powers' father?
Well, I suppose they all were. That if you put that the mother country.
Okay.
Oh.
And what was a neighborhood feeling back when you were growing up, Belknap Street?
Yeah, well, my mother and Mr. McWalter, who were about the same age, and moved in 2 years later into the home that had been built for them, were just like,
very close.
They were like that, and they had five children. And one of them said, "Mother, where are you going today?" And she said, "I'm going over to see Agnes." That was my mother's first name. And she said, Marty said to her, "Mother, you were over there yesterday. What are you going to talk about?" "Don't you worry. Oh, we'll find plenty, and we won't say anything bad about anybody." So they were just like that. But my mother was legally blind towards the end of her life, and she didn't come over the stairs too often without coming.
You grew up before there were many automobiles around here.
Well, yes, I'm trying to think. John Whitney, he lived in the golf house. I think he died in this house across the street. He lived in several houses in Concord. And they had rumors. They had Mary Sargent, a physical ed teacher, and she had a car. That wasn't quite interesting, you know, a Model T or whatever. I don't know much about cars. We don't have one. But she had one, and the McCausers had one. And Madeline McGuire, who died up at Walden Nursing Home a couple of years ago, lived in the coach house of the Motley, which is now Belknap House on Main Street. And we used to take her because the church was us, because we said there was no sense in her driving a little car, and up the street another car, the McCauley's had one, and so she always had a ride, you know, so she didn't have to walk to church.
So, but this was so close to town.
It was kind of united, little, not smitty, but, really nice feeling.
It must be wonderful to have grown up in a neighborhood like that.
That's right. But, you know, and my house, now McWalter's is next door. Now, I mean, I still call it McWalter's, so my husband's family is a little there. You go down and you go, then you take a turn at the down by David Little's.
Yeah?
Yes. He's on that side of the street. But he always used this door because he had a small garage on this street. And wasn't he a nice man?
Oh, he was wonderful.
Oh, he was so polite. wasn't he nice though? And I used to collect for all the causes. Oh, Scarlatina, I had it myself one year.
Was that a big problem, scarlet fever?
It was in those days. I mean, you had a sign on the door. And we had been to Boston just the day before I came down with it, so they'd notice it. And I had bought presents for all my cousins. I lived out of Concord. And when the doctor saw them, and I was looking at an atlas of the world, he said, "That's a lovely book, but it's got to go out of the house and go down to Waltham or Waverly, where they have a, you know, contagious disease place." So my cousins never got the atlas of the world.
So they would remove anything?
Yes, anything that might have a germ.
I see. Yeah. Who was your doctor?
Dr. Hutchinson.
Uh-huh.
He lived in the White House where the climbers live.
Okay, on Main
Di
Street.
Climber.
I see.
And Carol lives next door to them.
And Carol Dwyer is here, part of our conversation.
Yes, she's
today.
Wonderful. She's an awfully nice person.
Yes, she is.
We won't talk very much about her, though.
Please.
Carol, take off your coat.
Now, with Dr. Hutchinson, he was the doctor that took care of the entire family, everything.
I think my father, having been here, and my mother, probably went to Dr. Tinkle. It's on Sudbury Road, on the opposite side of the street from the library. The library's on the far. And you come up towards the railroad track, and on the left-hand side of Sudbury Road is a big house, White House now, and I think, I don't know what it is. And anyway, that was where he had his office. But John Wetty lived in a couple of buildings that were in back, and whether they were houses or whether they were huge sheds that had been made into a house, maybe that was it. Because before that, he had lived in Daniel Chester French's studio up on Sudbury Road, And people stop there now, even having read the book, and they want to go through it, but I don't think the people are too anxious, to have them do it.
And who was John Muddy?
Well, he was, do you remember him?
Just vaguely, I mean,
Well, he was an awfully nice man. An awfully nice man. He was a businessman. He was a captain or something in the law, you know.
So he was a neighbor of
yours. Well, we always liked him.
All right.
And he wasn't, and his wife was a dear little lady. Did you know Mrs. Muddy? Oh, she was so nice.
Diseases like scarlet fever were probably a part of that time period.
Yes,
you didn't
I went to Dr. Hutchinson, but I had problems with I never was a sickly child, but I did have trouble with my bowels when I was younger. And he, being so handy, recommended pig paste. So I grew up on pig paste. My mother made.
She rubbed it in? She rubbed it?
No.
You ate it?
I ate it.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, it was delicious.
Oh really?
But,
okay.
I didn't think so, but it was.
I didn't think so, but it was.
And you went to St. Bernard's Church?
Yes. Yes. Yes, my parents were married there. They would have had their 50th wedding anniversary a couple of years ago, but my father died about 2 years before the 50th.
I see. And what was the church like? A lot of people, a lot of the Irish went
there? Well, they said the Irish people built the railroads.
Mm-hmm.
And the Italian people built the roads.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to each group.
Yeah.
The big, you know. And Lake Walden was a great resort place.
Yeah.
And they even had a hotel down there.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah, some kind of a hotel. Probably wouldn't be much bigger than Friendly's, but anyway, people mm-hmm. came out, and little children, orphans, and, you know, poor little kids came out on the trains, and they used the end towards the railroad track much more than they did down the town end.
I see. And you went swimming there?
I didn't go there until I was in school. I think I got my junior life saving mm-hmm. down there. We took the Lovell bus line over at the station, and we all had a crush on Harry Bumpus. He was the bus driver, mm-hmm. Lovell bus driver, and its terminus was Harvard Square.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, when I became a teacher, I had his daughter, Joanne Bumpus, in one of my classes up in Maine.
Really?
Yes.
She became a teacher.
No, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She is maybe, I don't know, because I lost track of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. But you used to, I'm sorry, Mary, but you took the bus from where?
Over at the railroad station.
You take the bus over to Walden?
Yeah.
To go swimming?
Yes. Yeah.
And for your swimming classes?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
And where were those classes held? Were they on the other side of the lake?
They were on the end they use so much now.
Okay.
They don't use the far end so much. But it was quite a resort where you're going to spend your vacation.
Really?
Going out to Concord. You know.
So a lot of people came up from
yes.
the city.
Yeah.
To spend the day,
right. So I think that was quite exciting. I never did walk around the lake. That was mm-hmm. one of my ambitions in life, to walk around Lake Walden, because everybody seemed to have you walked around the lake yet?
No.
But have you, Carol? I bet you
yeah,
have.
Yeah.
But Mary, was that station on the other side of the lake, was that still there when you were swimming there?
Oh, no.
No, it was gone by then.
No,
right.
I don't think it was there
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that was sort of like another country
right.
way up at the end of
right.
Lake Walden.
Yeah.
So, no, they had bathhouses when I went down there. And they had police barracks. I think the state police barracks were in that building across the street, but I'm not sure of that. I wasn't
mm-hmm.
really quoted. And then a real estate man put up how many houses, Carol? Oh, a number of small houses. They were small. Oh, 20, 30, 40 houses. And there are still two or three people living in the remaining houses down there at Lake Walden on the left hand side as you go towards Lincoln.
But there were more houses there. Previously there were more houses there. At one time there were houses.
Yes, there were when they rented them out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, unless you walk to a place, you didn't spend much time because you missed the bus, you'd have to walk home.
Mm-hmm. Did you walk a lot to things?
My father was a great walker.
Mm-hmm.
He walked constantly. He was a postmaster,
yeah,
on the railroad. He worked for the government. And he, his train ran between Boston North Station to Troy, New York. His particular train, not that he owned it, but that he worked on. And he was clerk in charge. And he used to go right through here. Mm. So that my mother couldn't
wait
out
to
there. I know. And Tom would wave to her. So one day she cooked up a nice lunch, and the youngest, McWalter, who's next to the youngest, was around, and she said, "Marty, would you bring this covered dish over to Mr. Powers when the train comes in and give it to him? He'll be standing at the door of the mail car, and all you have to do is hand it up because he'll have his hand out for it." Mom said, "Oh, yes." So my mother made a nice dinner and covered it over and gave it to Marty. And Marty disappeared around the corner by the store. The train came in, the train went out, and about 3 or 4 minutes later, Marty came around the corner again with the dish in her hand.
Oh dear! What happened?
And my mother said, "Mommy, didn't you give this to Mr. Powers?" "No, since he didn't, she just was terrified. It was so big a, commission to, So I guess we all have an extra piece of pork chop or something, you know."
So they used the trains to deliver the mail and pick up mail at that time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And then my father got very friendly. He boarded up there in Troy with a nice a widow, an older woman, and a boy. And they lived near a lovely park and rented the Polytechnic Institute is in Troy, New York.
Yeah.
And my father got to know a lot of the boys there, you know, on his week, because he would work 1 week. And then the next week, he would be at home preparing for an exam. They were constantly adding new stations and new mailing places.
Mm.
And he had, you know, those pigeonholes, we used to call them, up there. And he'd be up there flipping the things. But anyway, that was... Marty fell down at that time. That's...
Did you do a lot of your shopping? Your mother do a lot of her shopping right at the depot area?
Well, I don't know. I think that the Cutler was over. There are 2 blocks, so this block and then the garage and cleaners at Hamway. I forget what that is in Hamway, that's what's called it.
The carpet
and then another block.
Mm-hmm.
And she got her meat. Oh, she got her meat at Whitney's Market, which was the farther end of the first block. And my father took a small mortgage. He wasn't a mortgage person, but he took a small mortgage from Judge Kies, who lived over on Main Street. And that's where Reverend Greeley lived. He was a nice man. And so anyway,
He took a mortgage, yeah.
Oh yes, he took a small mortgage, but he paid it back and as promptly as he could. And they came up to that 25th wedding anniversary, and we had a lovely catered reading group out in the backyard. It was pretty. There was grass there. And now it's mossy, so there isn't so much grass. And Judge Kais was invited, and he and his wife came, and they gave a present for silver wedding anniversary. And he told somebody in the group, one of his friends, he said, you know, Tom Powers was the only one that has ever done business with that paid his mortgage back within a year.
Isn't that wonderful?
He was so happy that they were the newly appointed postmaster on the train had paid somehow or other. So they used to go over to John Whitney's, who had a house right here on Sorrow Street. I think it's a pink house when you go out. And he had a garage out back of his stable, I don't know. And that was the meat market. And my mother used to go over and get a quarter of a pound of hamburger or something like that. But they lived very simply. And that's the story of him. Oh, and Mrs. Kais, the judge's wife, had an electric car.
Oh, I heard of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so one day my mother and I were walking downtown, and we were about where the library is now, and Mrs. Kais came along, and she sort of slowed down and said, would you like a ride the rest of the way? And so we did. So we felt pretty smutty getting into the electric car. Though the judge, he was a big man.
Uh-huh.
And we had a ride downtown.
That was been thrilling.
No.
You never forgot that?
No, I never did. It was really, we saw you, Judge Kaiser's car. Boy, that was exciting.
Now, the neighborhood around here was called the back of the depot?
Well, that's on the other side of the track.
Could you describe the difference between one side and the other?
Well, the Italians settled over there. Mm-hmm. My mother was born over there, but way down almost the Sudbury Road, they had a beautiful house. Her father died when, I don't know what he was, whether he was a fireman or not, but he died when he was only 38, leaving a wife and seven children, one to come. My Aunt Rose was born 3 months after her father died, so she never really had a father that she looked at.
Mm-hmm. So you were saying that they were... the neighborhoods were separated on one track and the other?
Well, I don't mean to say, because we have, my mother came from there with a lovely home,
mm-hmm.
and a beautiful yard that ran down to the brook.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes under Sudbury Road, mm-hmm. and goes down to Sorrow Street,
mm-hmm.
and so forth, so it's still function.
Yeah. But Belknap Street is split.
Yes, and it was called High Street. I think in my mother's time it was called High Street, and there were 8 children in her family, and next door the Harringtons. And I think there were practically 8 children there. And so their mother said, you don't need to go way up on the High Street to play with anybody. You've got a regular ball team, 16 children here between the two houses, you know.
Now, how did it become Belknap Street?
I don't know. If this high, it is higher it goes down, you know, a little bit below, not low, but a slight incline before it reaches Sudbury Road, mm-hmm. which is a feedback from the track over there, where Friendly was.
So in your time, the name changed?
No, it already changed. And I forget, I should know, but whether he was a railroad
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I think he was.
Was
yes.
he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some financier.
Yes.
I was just confused because I didn't understand. When you were referring to High Street, were you talking about what we call Thoreau Street now?
Belknap.
The other end of Belknap.
All right.
Over the track
right.
was High Street. I don't think this end was High Street. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't built up that much. And also the cattle show grounds were up at the end of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Indian saguar and so forth. Think Indians came and people brought cattle and
Was that in your mother's time or your time?
Not in my time, no.
The cattle show, okay.
No, I don't think so, but that's all built up now into it. Extension of Elsinore and Belknap.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be one big field, you know, and mm-hmm. everybody would go there on certain days like Labor Day or 4th of July and so forth. I marched with the Girl Scouts, you know. We had our meetings in the, what was the old Ripley School. But now it's the Hunt Gymnasium, you know, mm-hmm. that was the Ripley mm-hmm. School. And I was a kindergartner in the Emerson building, the brick one across the street. And I was a teacher's pet. And she used to, I didn't know, I didn't think of anything, you know. So they'd have reading periods. And she'd say, now children, I'm going to sit up here in this chair and you're going to be comfortable at your desk and we're going to have a reading hour. And then she'd beckon to me and you know what? She used to take me and put me on her lap and I'd sit in her lap. Imagine doing that now. You'd be fired. Oh, if you did that. I mean, even like a teacher touches a child, it's really cause for court, you know.
Different times.
Yeah, different times.
Did you want to ask before?
But I wanted you to tell, could you tell that story that you told me about when you were in kindergarten?
Oh, that we had a substitute teacher and the regular teacher was Sarah Nazarian, she was Armenian, and so her father was a minister over in Reuben, I think it was, and she liked me and had me sit in her lap. I wonder if the kids didn't pull my hair out, you know, come walking home to lunch, but they didn't, they kind of accepted it. And so anyway, my father wasn't boldness, it was ability or disability to laugh or giggle. And so that many times they'd have to quiet down. But that one day we had a sub for Miss Nazarian and I giggled too long. And so she said, out, young lady. And so I had to go out the door and stand in the kind of smelly, not disagreeable, but school smell out in the hall. And she closed the door and that was, she forgot where I'd come. Then, who came in the door but Wells Hall, the superintendent of the school.
Right.
And And my father was on the school board.
Really?
Yes, he was on the school board a couple of terms, at least a couple of years. And he looked at me and he said, "Mary, what are you doing out here?" And I couldn't talk because I had a tape around my mouth.
A piece of tape.
And so I said, he said, "Well, so did she put that on you?" Okay. So he said, "Well, I don't think we're going to see too much of her from now on." So he said, "Take my hand." He was a big man, a little on the heavy side. And he lived up at the hospital where the building is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they call it. And before you get to Route 2, there was no Route 2. And it was just another place I used to play. So he said, "Take my hand." So I took it, and we went sailing into the room, and the teacher's face kind of dropped. And he said, "And this child now is, I'm taking her out, moving her back into the classroom. And she won't be going out there again soon." So he said to me, "She's not going to get any calls from us from now on doing something like that."
She was a substitute teacher, I see.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yes, I heard his name.
Well, he was a nice man.
Yeah.
Very nice man. He had a big family. And I used to play with the kids that lived there next door to him. And they used to invite me out to dinner. And one of my joys was climbing around their hen house out in the backyard and playing games out there. So I playing in the hospital because it was only the little cottage building.
Right.
At that time, yeah. And they were just putting up the nurses' home, which is now for drugs, something.
I don't know what they use.
Something
for.
Rather.
That first building on the left there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Cal. Yeah. They were just putting up, and we used to go on Saturdays and Sundays when they weren't working and climb around, you know.
Did you use Emerson Playground?
Yeah, I taught there.
Mm-hmm.
I taught Emerson Playground 1 year, and I taught Harvey Wheeler 3 years in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. So, the recreation.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And I used to take the kids on picnic. And I'm thinking now, you wouldn't dare take a group of 10 or 12 kids with you and go wandering off into the woods or the field, you know? It wouldn't be safe.
Well, where would you take them, Mary? Where would you go for them?
Because I'm across Commonwealth Avenue and went up on the Mersnick Hill.
You walked from where? Where was that you walked from to go up into
from the playground?
Emerson
Playground. Sure, they.
That's
they
quite
each
a
had
walk.
A little brown bag of lunch and all. Yeah, but you couldn't do it now. So you got to know the town.
Everybody seemed to know everybody. There.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what made it very nice.
That's right. So we were really, and my father was a great walker, and he used to walk a lot on Sunday. We didn't have a car because he had enough motion on the train, so he didn't have to worry about seeing the country. He saw lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew the area up around Chalmont and up through the western part of the state. And He made friends with each postmaster there that came down to the train, and he got his Christmas tree every year from the same man, Mr. Niles, in Shalmont, you know. Mm-hmm. We go to the Shalmont Inn for a weekend, and he'd go down and talk to Frank and order a Christmas tree, you know, and then he'd come home at Christmas time carrying the tree under his arm. And it was a pretty big tree. It was, you know, was not a table tree. It was a big tree.
Do they have the Christmas carol sing in the center of town?
Yes, I think they did. I think I can remember going down there. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't remember too clearly because the winters were much harder than mm-hmm. they are now. So, and my father used to do a lot of shoveling, and he'd always make a snow house for me. And it would really be, well, almost as high as this room. And he'd make a door, and my mother and I used to crawl in on our knees and sort of visit inside the snow.
So you felt that there was more snow, or the winters were colder?
I think so, much harder. Didn't we have a wonderful winter? We didn't have...
Yeah, we had an easy one.
That grass out there, Carol, out in back of the parish and all, and green in the forsythia.
But Mary, speaking of the backyard here, can you tell Renee what it was like in the backyard of your house here on Belknap Street?
Well, I don't know whether there were any houses other than this one or not, but that was all open land. Mm-hmm. Now it's a computer place next door.
I see.
And a parking area for the computees. But anyway, we have a picture to prove that it was there. And I'll try to get it out. Show you, Carol. My father is standing beside a cow, mm-hmm. and the cow has been grazing on the fields, you know.
Did a lot of people have cows in their backyard?
Well,
for milk.
That was the only cow I knew of.
Oh, okay.
But my uncle Bill, who lived there on Graff Street, in the old, you know, his mother, my grandmother. He had a huge garden, and he also had a hen house with hens in it and squab. And when they knew that I was going to come over to see them, they'd give me a lunch before we went out to play in the backyard or walk in the field, which is now all the those houses, you know, on Sudbury Road.
Okay.
You know, Grant Street comes off.
Yes.
Yeah. And all those houses probably.
Like around Ballfield Road, Southfield Road.
Right. That was just one big field. Mm. And my Uncle Bill used to take me, and we'd go and look for Indian heads. I don't know where they are, but I wasn't too apt and knowledgeable about Indian heads. But anyway, we had a nice walk, and that went way out to the river.
That's
I put
nice.
Out many a fire in that field.
What that?
Caused by the steam engine, steam locomotives, grab a broom or an old coat or something like that and go out and beat it out before it got too far. Any a time, I lived by the cross country.
Yes, my husband lived right next to the river, didn't you? On Main Street by the boathouse.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just interrupt, I'm sorry.
What's up?
Can you just say something about your work? How long did you work at the Alcott House?
I was there off and on over 40 years.
Did you have anything exciting ever happen there?
Well, yes. This is really something kind of... a family that was heading Fruitlands. They was a curator up at Fruitlands in the harbor. He and his wife and daughter lived there for several years, I don't know how long. And they were over in England, and they were in a outdoor, restaurant or something. They saw a family sitting at a table near them, and they heard them say, we just got back. Apparently they were with some relatives or friends that didn't go. We just got back from America, and it was so nice. We saw this and that and so forth. And, we went to the Orchard House, Louisa May Alcott. And, we had a very interesting tour. This is, quote,
the people
family now living in Carlisle. We had a very interesting guide, and they described, and the girl said, that sounds as though it definitely was Mary Brown.
Oh.
So they were telling her how they'd enjoyed their trip here and how they enjoyed Mary Brown. So I tell people that I'm described of, as being a good guide. And people used to clap when I got through guiding. Not always, but I mean, on occasion they would. Right. And one day it was funny, I had a group, they were sisters, not religious sisters. They were, Jones or Murphy or whatever. And they had on a lovely, one of them had on a lovely necklace. And so when I got through, there wasn't something to be done immediately, you could talk with the people, that you'd taken through on tour. And so I said, what a pretty necklace that is to have on. And with that, she put her hand up, took out the necklace and gave it to me.
Oh, my.
And said, I want you to have this. We like it. So I don't know whether I still have it or not, because it was a long time ago that happened. But anyway, that was the story that I...
What about, didn't you meet, was it Katharine Hepburn?
Oh, Katharine Hepburn, yeah. Yes, her niece was out there at the School of Philosophy on a Sunday afternoon giving a reading. And Katharine Hepburn had come along for the ride, and she was sitting in there because she, probably heard it all before umpteen times. And so I got through my tour and I came back in, and we had quite a chat, But I never forgave Katharine for the mess that she made of Spencer Tracy's life. Of course, it takes two to tangle, but I never really forgave her for that.